Thank you, Brother MC, and thanks to all who worked in the service, all the brothers this morning. We appreciate you so very much. We're very thankful to have everybody on our call. Thanks to those who are visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ. You're a VIP, the very important person on our call this morning, because you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ, because we believe that the Bible is right. According to the Bible, the saved are in the one church. There's only one in the Bible. It is the Church of Christ. And we don't apologize for telling you that. Actually, I'm thankful that I can tell you that. And I'm thankful that you're still alive. You can hear that you, if you're not in the Church of Christ, you're not going to be saved according to the Scripture. And so if you believe the Bible, you have no problem with anything I'm going to say this morning. Neither we have a problem with what I just said, because the Bible will always be right over mankind. Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood and will purchase his church, became his bride, his wife. That is the Church of Christ. That's why it's a descriptive phrase, and it knows who owns it, and it is the owner of the church is Christ. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Even the grave will not prevail against it. He got up early on a Sunday morning with power, Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He'll teach all nations, and he said, baptizing him in the name of the Father, by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if we want to become a member of the Church of Christ, they must be baptized, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that blood then will wash your sins away, add you, and then Lord, upon that washing of your sins, forgiving you of all your past sins, then will add you to his body and church. And there you must live faithful until the day you die, or until you die as a result of being faithful to God, meaning giving your life. So thank you for joining us. I just gave you the plan of salvation, so you know that now. And if you're on the call and you visit Mother Congregation, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you so very much, and you're welcome to our worship service. Continuing and finalizing, actually, this is the last sermon from the book of Revelation. Hope you've enjoyed the study. If you have not been able to join us each Sunday morning, go ahead and go to our website, howlinghightscoc.net, and that there all the sermons are recorded. Also, our YouTube page, and you can go and listen to all of the preaching myself and others have spoken on our program. You can go and listen to us. So it's out there for you to listen to. Today, in closing of this book, the Spirit and the Bride say come. And just so y'all know, you can go ahead and just start studying the book of Acts. I'm going to go to the book of conversion, because with COVID-19, it's such an opportunity to reach the lost. It's time for all of us as members of the churches. We will see today the Spirit and the Bride says come. It's up to the church to tell the people of the good news of the gospel. So we're going to see that this morning. But go ahead and go to the book of Acts. Next week we'll start there, and we'll start studying from the book of Acts. So this morning, let's just recap briefly. In chapter 21, we learned about a city. Now, many people, as I said, when we started, they look at this city as heaven. But this actually, it was the holy city. It's the New Jerusalem, which is the church, the bride of Christ. We learned that when John was shown the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. Now, heaven, as we see heaven, it's made up of exclusively the church. The people of God will make up the city of heaven. It's the church that he's talking about. It's the Lamb's wife. In this city, God will be with men. So it'll be a dwelling place for God to dwell with his people. In this city, God will do the tear wiping. He will wipe away tears. There will be no death no more. There will be no sorrow, no crying in this city. There will be no more pain in this city. And there will be all the former things that this city, the people who obeyed God, became the church of Christ. And they will call out by the Spirit and the church and the body. The Spirit. Their spirit and the bride said, come. So these people call out of the world into the church of Christ, and this city now is the, he's coming back to get the city to take her back to the throne of God. Now, some mistake there to be heaven. He's talking about the beauty of the church. This city is the light. Its light is the glory of God. This city has 12 gates. Now, each one a pearl. On each, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west, 3 gates. The city this city is the wall of it is jasper. There's one wall. The wall of the city is jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, we learned in this city that there's a street, and it's a straight and narrow street. That's that straight and narrow way into the church. There's only one way to God, and, you know, unfortunately, the world that we live in, everybody want to have their own way, to act like it's a map where you just all start in different places and end up at the same place. That's not what God is saying. There's a straight teaching that you must know in order to go to heaven. You ain't got all these different options out there like denomination world, and we all going to end up at the same place. No, we're not. You can make all the jokes you want to, but at the end of the day, you either believe the Bible or you don't. I'm really more emphasis on that. People don't believe the Bible. People who question baptism, they're not believers. People who question one church, you're not a believer. When you believe the Bible, you don't question nothing to say. You just say, that's what it says, and I believe it. Right? Amen. And that's what it says. You know, somebody say, God said it, and I believe it, that settles it. Somebody would say that. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. If God said it, it's settled. No matter whether you believe or not, God has already spoken. God's not getting approval from us. So we was in this one straight street. This street that's in that city was pure gold, as it was a transparent glass. And there was a way, you have to be blind to miss truth. You got to be blind to miss truth. I'll say it again. You got to be blind to miss truth. How you going to be blind, brother? The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. What's blinding? Why am I blind? If the blind lead the blind, you have a blind preacher because he don't listen to God. You got a blind a follower don't listen to God. And when you don't listen to God, you listen to men, then you blind, and the leader is blind, and you follow the blind leader, and you blind for following him. That's what the Bible is talking about. Let's be real clear about this thing. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The God of this world, little G, is the one who's blinding the minds of people. If you're going to follow God, you got to open your eyes to the truth that's written in this scripture. And one of the things about listening to me, I'm going to put it down there where you're going to get it. You ain't going to be able to get up there on there, Jim, and say, well, I didn't know. No. You knew because Brother Brooks told you. And I didn't use no fancy words. I'm just telling you. Either you believe the Bible right or you don't. If you don't believe the Bible right, you're going to have trouble on the day. I gave you the information. You do what you want to do with it. But I told you. We owe it to you, child. We don't want somebody to tell me. If I'm going into a fire and I don't see myself going into it, somebody needs to scream and tell me I'm gonna die if I go inside that block. If I don't believe you, I'm just gonna walk in it. But if I believe you, I'm gonna stop. You don't just walk off a cliff when you've been warned. Okay, I'm a straight shooter, huh? Well, in the city, there's a straight and narrow way. That Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13, any end at the straight gate, but wide is the gate, and broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many will go that way, he says. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way to lead to life. And few there be to find it. Few. Now, we believe that many going to go to heaven. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. If you believe many people going to heaven, then you don't believe the Bible. You're an unbeliever. Jesus said few would find it. What am I trying to do? Find it. Tell others about it. So they too can go. Now, we learned that the city had no need of sun, need of moon, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp is light thereof. We learn the gates of it should not be shut by at all by day, for there shall be no night. See, there's no darkness in truth. There's no darkness in getting into the church, the true church. It is open. There's a whosoever will. All gates are open to the church right now. The Spirit is teaching us. The Spirit is the Scripture. Spirit teaches us through the Scripture. And the church, the bride, is the church of Christ, is our obligation as the bride. The Spirit and the bride is saying, come. In other words, when you study the Scripture, that's the Spirit telling the bride or the members of the church what to tell the lost people outside of the city. They'd be dogs. And we're going to look at that in a minute. You know, man, you can call them being a dog. You can call them a big dog, they say. But in the Bible, they're talking about sinners here. We're talking about sinners. See, the Spirit gave us the word. John 16:13, Jesus said, I be, and when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall guide you into all truth. John 16:13. 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this verse, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. This is not coming from some man. It ain't, Paul ain't just telling us stuff, man told him. He's the holy men of God. Peter, Paul, James, and John, Luke, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Spirit. So the Spirit then gave us what we call the Bible. It's called scripture. So the Spirit gave us scripture, and the members of the church must take scripture and tell the people to come into the city. The city is the church of Christ. It's the members of the church of Christ. It's our obligation to use the scripture to teach the people to come into the church. It's the ecclesia. We're calling them out of the world into the kingdom, into the church of Christ. It's our responsibility. The Spirit and the bride says, come, whosoever will. Let them come. Yeah. The gates are open right now. There's going to be a day when you can't come into the church. Because Jesus come to take the church back. He's taking the city back to the throne. He's taking it back to God the Father. Now if we move into chapter 22, that's just a recap there. If we move into chapter 22, he's still talking about this city. He's still talking about the church. In verse 1, he said, and go there, Revelation 22:1. He showed me a pure river. Now this angel is the angel of Jesus. See, if you go back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, Revelation 1:1, you'll see that the revelation, many people sing a song, John the Revelator. Well, John wasn't a revelator. See, in Revelation 1:1, it said the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant the things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel. So it was Jesus and an angel talking to John. Did Jesus talk and the angel that gave him the message? So John was talked to by an angel, by Jesus' angel, and Jesus himself. You're going to see when Jesus speak, he spoke, is in red in your book. And then the angel would speak, but it's the same angel. Now watch this. So he here showed me, that's that angel. So the angel had told John in Revelation 21, he said, come here, John, I'm going to show you the city. I'm going to show you the Lamb's wife. He was talking about the church. He said, come here, John. That was Revelation 21:9. He said, I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then he just described the bride, the church of Christ, the Lamb's wife. The Lamb is Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world. That's John chapter 1. So now we know the Lamb's wife is his church. Ephesians 5, he's the husband of one wife. Yeah. And Paul said in Ephesians 5:32, this is a great message, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So Christ is the husband, the church is his wife. Now, if you got good sense, you already know. Every man that marry a woman, he's going to put her, he's going to marry her, and she's going to start wearing his name. You know that, don't you? Yeah, you know that. See, that's what people know. You know, if Jesus wanted had a wife, he would never call her a Baptist wife or a Methodist wife. Or, no, that didn't come from Jesus. It ain't in the Bible. Catholic wife ain't in the Bible. The only wife in the Bible is called the Church of Christ. Yeah, I know. Maybe you don't like what I just said. But again, until you become a believer in the Bible, then you won't believe nothing I'm going to say. You know, we don't tickle the ears of people, members of church. Our job is the Spirit and the bride says, come. We follow the scripture. We speak where the Bible speaks. We speak where the scriptures speak, and we're silent where the scriptures are silent. So we are to tell the people, the Spirit and the bride is calling the people into the church to be saved. That's what this whole lesson is going to be. I'm going to repeat myself over and over and over on this. Because the Church of Christ, we got to understand, it's not the world's responsibility to teach us about Christ. It's our responsibility to teach them the straight and narrow truth. And the thing about it, you got to be bold. You got to be a believer. You got to love souls. You got to care about the people listening to you. So here we are. He showed me a pure river of water of life. So this angel showed John this river that's in the city. It's a water of light, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne. Notice, it's coming out of the throne. It ain't in the throne. It's coming out of the throne. It's still in the church and of the Lamb. It's flowing into the church. So in the city, the church, the pure water is the water of life. Why is this river so pure? Well, look where it comes from. Wasn't Jesus' blood pure? Yes, it was. Sure, Jesus was the bread of life. He's the water of life. If any man thirsts, you got to drink Jesus' water. What's that? What are you saying? Well, he's telling us that you got to believe in God. That's what you got to do. If you believe in Jesus, you'll eat what he say, you'll drink what he say. And you got to take it in you. That's what we take. When we drink water, it goes in our body. When we take food, it goes in our body. When you read the word of God, it goes into your mind. You're taking in the water. You got to be thirsty. You got to want to know what the truth is. If you're one of those who don't want to know the truth, then you're not going to drink water. Well, if you don't drink water in physical life, you die. But if you don't drink water in spiritual life, you die too. You understand that? If you don't eat bread, you die. This is the bread of life I'm feeding you this morning. Everybody should be feasting. Everybody should be eating. Well, how you eat, Brother Brooke? Take it into your mind. That's what you do. And so this water is kept pure because God is pure. Jesus, the Lamb, is pure. My question is, don't you want to drink? Don't you want to drink of this water? It's pure water, the pure water of life. In Revelation 21, remember Revelation 21:6, Jesus said this. He said unto me, it is done. John said, Jesus told John, it's done, it's over. I'm the Alpha, I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. If a person want to be saved, it's free. You can drink this water right now. If you can drink it this morning, you can take this. It can be bitter or it can be sweet. I said, well, I don't like what you said. That's bitter water then. The Bible's got bitter water in it. I mean, you don't want to go to hell. That's bitter. Then there's this good water. That's bitter. Some things are bitter. Some people don't want to be told they're wrong. But the Bible is intended to be like a sword. The Bible said the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the body and asunder of the soul, the spirit, the joints, and marrow, the discerner of the intents of the heart. Man, you could take this book and wear your conscience out with it. Why? It's intended to work on your conscience. If your conscience is not working, you are seared. In other words, you can't feel it. You ain't going to feel it. But when your conscience ain't seared, is not seared, and you listen to the word of God, and things are wrong in your life, and things that I'm telling you, it's bothering you that I'm having to say this to you, that means your conscience is still working. Now, are you thirsty enough to get your reward? The reward is the fountain of water is still free. In other words, you can be saved today. Somebody died last night that wasn't saved. But it wasn't you. The good news is you can be saved today. Listen to Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street, or that one street is it, of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, the tree of life, one, and which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation, spiritual healing here, all nationalities. That's what Jesus said. In Matthew 28, go teach all nations. See, when you get in a black movement or any kind of white movement, you've lost, you've left the truth, Church of Christ. We understand this. It ain't about a black-white thing. That's what's wrong with these black Hebrew Israelites. It's not about that. God is saying nationalities, all nations of people can be healed spiritually with this free water. It can be healed. The tree of life produces a manner of fruits all the time, every month. The tree is not seasonal. It produces continuously. In other words, the gospel was saved day in and day out. The same gospel, the same truth would save everybody all across this world. Chinese, Japanese, African, you name it. Arabs, all of them can be saved by the same truth. Why? It's a spiritual healing. See, people are sin sick, y'all. The problem is, you know what's wrong with us? We sick. Every one of us sick. Me too. Every one of them. Ain't nobody out there so holy they ain't sick. you're sick. That's what's wrong with you. When a person is continuing to sin, you sense it. Sin is a sickness. It's a sickness. All of us sick. And Jesus is the great doctor. He's the physician that came to bring us the healing power, and the healing for nations is the blood of Jesus. That's the only medication. You think COVID is something that sin been killing people for years. You're talking about the coronavirus. It's the sin coronavirus that's killing the world, spiritually killing them. Some of you on this call is living in sin. You living in sin. You know you are. Don't look at the person next to you that you're in the bed with. You might be shagging with them. But if you are, you ought to look at each other and say, he talking to us. Yes, I am talking to y'all. I'm talking to all of us. Everybody know what their sin is. Ain't no sense of playing no game. It ain't like you don't know what your issue is. Everybody got an issue. But here's the thing about it. If you're sick and you know you got cancer, then you go to the doctor and you take medication. That's what we do in the church. We went to the doctor. The doctor is Jesus. The church is the hospital, and we go there. And right now, we're taking medicine this morning. We take it in the Word. We're drinking of the Word. That's medication for it. And we took the Lord's Supper. That's medication to keep our sins in remission. Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for men for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. You're supposed to be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. If you're on this call and you're not drinking the medicine, you're not drinking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and you're not in the kingdom. You're not saved. You're sick. And you have not come to the doctor yet. And you need to do like some many have done since I've been preaching, even on our gospel meeting call. People are coming out in the world. They're coming in to the great physician. They're answering the gospel call. And they're becoming the members of the Church of Christ to be saved. They're coming in there to be lost. They're coming to be saved. Yeah. This can only happen in the church. It only happen in the city where the street, the river, and the tree is at. Okay, well, let's say it again. The street, one street, the river is there, and the tree of life is there. There's water flowing. And if you're thirsty, you can drink and come in. But if you ain't thirsty, you ain't going to drink. Listen to this. Now, he said, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. This is powerful here, y'all. And his servants shall serve him. Look at this. In this city, In the church, there is no curse of judgment. In the city, God the Lamb will be served by their servants. Now, here's the thing. We are serving. When we go back and be with God as the church, we're going to be serving him. You don't want to serve him now? You don't want to go to heaven? We're going to be serving the Lord. Ain't no curse no more. Once the church make it back home, ain't no curse in the city. No, there's no curse in the city. You got to be in the church to avoid the curses. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay in the church. I'm staying here. I am not leaving the Church of Christ. I'm not leaving it for nobody. My dear wife was leaving. I used to tell her, if I leave the Church of Christ, I was serious when I told her, if something happened and I leave the Church of Christ and I start teaching something different, then you might as well just take me to the mental hospital. Come on, I lost my mind. Because I believe ain't nobody proved to me that this book's wrong yet, and I ain't going to stop believing it unless my mind is bad. And y'all who know me, you know if I start talking crazy, take Brother Brooks to the hospital because he's sick. He's mentally sick. That's my position. And they shall see his face. And John said, in verse, the angel told him in verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Only in the church will you ever be able to see the face of God and wear his name. You remember Lazarus and the rich man? Now, the only one that had a name was Lazarus. Well, he went to Abraham's bosom. He was saved. The rich man, they didn't call no name. And the name you got to wear today is Christian. You're not a Christian if you're not in the Church of Christ. I just don't agree with that. Okay, well, it's not me you're disagreeing with now. You understand that, right? Understand who you're disagreeing with. Now, it's one thing to disagree with old Brother Group, but it's another thing when you start disagreeing with God, because now you got a big problem. The only people going to see his face are those in the church. He said, there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, need the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. See, we're walking in the light right now. As long as you walk in the light, you're following the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So how you get into the church, you got to follow the light. If you ever roll on an airplane, you know that they say we get in trouble following the light. If we crash, they got to run the light. How do you get out to exit? Well, how do you get into the church? You got to follow the light. The light is the word of God. It's a light. And that light shines for people who want to go in. In this city, God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See, in this city, we will reign with God. There is no ending to the everlasting life. You know, once you make it in, it ain't going to be no end to serving God. We're going to be worshiping and serving God as the bride, as the city that's dwelling with him. That's what we're going to be doing. In this city, we will see God's face. Verse number 6. He said unto me, he's talking about the angel, these sayings are faithful and true. And the angel is put some emphasis on this, but John, as I'm going to say, John, look here. Everything I'm telling you, John, is faithful and it's true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, the angel speaks unto John, saying, reminding him, and these things are faithful and true. So we all need to be reminded that everything we're reading is true. Everything we have learned from Revelation, from the time, chapter 1, verse 1, through to 22 here, is faithful and true. It was Jesus and the angel giving it to John, and he told him to go back and write this down. There's some things he said, don't you write that. Don't you write that, John. But there are some things he told me, write it. Write this down. This is the book of prophecy for John. It would be in our past. It was in his present at the time. And there were some things that would happen in John's future. And some of us don't experience some of the things that have John dead, gone now. But some things happen in his future. And there's things in our future that's in his book. Some things have not happened. What do you mean? Well, you haven't gone to judgment, have you? So this book talks about judgment. You haven't done that. That's prophecy. It's going to happen, though, if you believe. You believe there's a judgment. You believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. And you believe you're going to stand before God on the day of judgment. However, now, since we know judgment has not started, the Spirit and the bride is still calling the people into the kingdom. The Spirit is the Word of God, and the bride is the church who uses the Word of God. All scriptures given by 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, in righteousness, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Word of God gives instructions how to get into the city. John, verse 7, Revelation 22:7. Jesus said, I come quickly. Jesus said, this thing will end in the moment of twinkling of an eye. John. And he said this multiple times in Revelation. He's letting us know this thing, you know, to us, a thousand years, a long time, but God, it's a day. You know, the thing about it, when God says it's over, y'all, it's over. You can worry about the wildfires and the COVID-19 and the wars. Then when God, the world ain't going to end until God say so. They're going to end and God say so. Now, when you want a blessing, you see, I come quickly, Jesus said, blessed is he, notice what the blessings are, that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And he's talking about the revelations. See, if you want a blessing, you understand, Jesus said, the people who keep what I'm telling you, they do it, and they'll keep it, obey it. John says, Jesus says, these people going to be blessed. That's why in the church of Christ, we really stay straight and narrow, you know. We stand with the straight and narrow path, y'all. I mean, this is something you got to deal with. You can't be loosey-goosey. You got to stay with the truth as written. John said, verse 8, he said, John saw these things, and I heard them. John said, I saw and heard this for myself. And when I heard and seen, John said, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Now, I want y'all to think about what John done got way too excited. The angel was giving him a message. John said, I saw this stuff is important. He done seen this beautiful city. He done seen it coming down from God out of heaven. He seen the beauty of the wall, the street of gold. He seen everything that we just read. And John is excited here, and he heard what Jesus just said. And then John says, I could help it. This angel was telling me this stuff. That caused me to fall down and worship that angel that showed this stuff to me. But watch what the angel said in verse 9. The angel said, John said, then said he, talking about the angel, unto me, see thou do it not. Don't do that, John. What are you doing? You don't worship an angel. You, he said, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, the prophets. I'm just like a brother in the church. I'm just like a prophet. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Look at him. He said, man, don't worship me. The angel shut him down. Now, I want y'all to just take a very common sense thought, especially if you're on the call and you're in a church where your reverend tell you, your preacher tell you call him reverend, and that's normally in most denominational churches or in the Catholic Church, the priest tell him call him father. You call the Pope the Holy Father. I'm talking directly to you. Use a common sense approach. Look at this. John said that he fell down. And an angel. If anybody was going to let him get away with it, it seemed like an angel would have let him get away with it. But this angel shut him down on the spot. He said, man, I'm a servant and I'm a brother. Now, y'all know this. Now, in Job 32:21, I want y'all to listen carefully to what Elihu said in Job 32:21. And what he was talking about, he didn't want to lift any man up. He said, now I pray, you know, I give no man, you know, what Elihu was trying to say is that he didn't want to give no man no flattering talent. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I don't give no man a flattering talent. Job 32:21, listen to the Bible. Elihu said, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. So you don't give Brother Brooks a big seat to sit in at the church with a robe and a big cross around my neck like I got something greater than you do. That's why I don't even sit up in them big chairs. I sit down there with the members because we are all just servants. Every one of us is a servant. You can't give me no, you can't have no respect to Brother Brooks because I'm the preacher. You can't lift me above the next member. The janitor of the church is just as important as me. Yeah, the ushers are just as important as what I'm doing. Everybody got their role. That's right, y'all. He said, let not me give him flattering titles than a man. That way you don't call no woman no first lady. Every woman in the church, Jesus died for her. The men walk around here, they why, even in the Lord's church now, that's the first lady. So who said so? Who made her first? The first lady is the church of Christ, the bride of Christ, not none of us. He said, now I know not to give flattering titles. And so doing, my maker will soon take me away. You think about a title like reverend. Holy, God's Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 9, God said, holy and reverend is my name. Why would a man tell you to call him reverend when God said, that's me? And you in that church, blind leading the blind, they both going to fall in the ditch. Don't forget. And then Matthew 23:7-9, the Catholic people all really read. It just points out very clear Jesus. And they say, I believe in Jesus with them. Believe in this and believe what Jesus said. It's in red in your book, 7-9. Listen to it. And greetings in the market to be called a man, rabbi, rabbi. He shut down the Jews. They call their preacher rabbi, rabbi. He said, be ye not called rabbi. He said, stop doing that. One is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. What did the angel tell John? I'm your brethren. I'm a fellow brother. And call no man your father on the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. And somebody said, well, that's talking about your dad. You got better sense than that. This religion, this context is about religious leaders. Some people just come up with something. They want to say something. Some people just need to be quiet. just don't believe. That's your problem. Just don't believe. If the man believe that this scripture is right, then they'll never call a man father. Never. You don't call him reverend, and the angel shut John down in this case, and John, look here. You don't call me, you don't worship me, you worship God. Don't forget that now. The Bible says in John 4:23, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Who do we worship? The Father who died on the cross, the Son who gave us scripture, the Holy Spirit, Who do we worship? The Father. Who said it? Jesus. Somebody said, we don't worship the Father, then you don't believe Jesus did. Because he the one said it. If Jesus said it, that settles it. That settles it. We don't question what the Lord said. He said it just the way he meant to say it. You know, error in the Bible. So what was the emphasis here? My emphasis is that all of us need to understand we worship God. Listen here. Yes, we worship God. And when we worship God, we don't worship man. We don't worship angels. We don't worship idols. We got to keep our focus. If an angel is only a brother, then there's no room for reverence. There's no room for a doctor. There's no room for a brother. I mean, a father. When I say doctor, I'm talking about men who come into the pulpit and say, I'm Dr. Brooks because I got a PhD. No, you're Brother Brooks, whether you got a PhD or not. There's no place for that in the pulpit. In the pulpit, I'm a brother. I can have a PhD on a college campus. You can come over there and say, Dr. Brooks, tell me when I'm teaching you math. But when I'm teaching you the scripture, it's Brother Brooks. Thank you. Of course, I don't have a PhD. I'm just using myself as an example. And then in verse number 10, he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So the angel tells John, seal not. In other words, don't hold this information back. It is time for you, John, to go back. When you out of the spirit, when you get out of the spirit, you're going to go back and write this information in the book. That book, we got it called the Book of Revelation today. So John had to go back and write this, and he was guided by the Holy Spirit, so he didn't make no mistake. And we got it today. It's a revelation given to John by Jesus and his angel, by the one angel. In verse number 11, he said, the Spirit said, write it down. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. See, you all listen, it's going to come to a time when, like they say, you know, wherever the tree falls, that's where it lays. You know what that means? Whichever condition you die in, that's the condition you're going to get up in. So when the remainder of this prophecy will be fulfilled, it will be when judgment is called. But you have information in a book that was written, and the Spirit is telling you what to do when you read the scripture. And if the church, our doors should be wide open to anyone who want to come in and obey the truth. But it's going to come a day. If you are unjust, you're going to be judged unjust. If you are filthy, you're going to be judged filthy. If you are righteous, you're going to remain righteous. If you are holy, you'll remain, in a word, you understand what he's saying, either you're lost or you're saved. The way he finds you is the way you will be judged, the way you get up on the day of resurrection when Jesus comes back. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. It is then too late to repent. What are you saying, brother? Brothers, sisters, and friends on the call today, do you know when Jesus comes back to get the church, you can't repent then? You can't go in. You can't be a member of the church at that point. It's too late. It's too late. In Revelation 22:12, listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Maybe you'll believe him over me. Listen to what he said. Verse 12. And behold, Jesus started to speak. The angel was talking. Now Jesus come back. So the angel speaking, and then Jesus come back. Something Jesus said, I'm going to say it myself. I don't need you to speak for me. Now he said, and Jesus said, look, behold, look, I'll come quickly. And my reward, when I come, my reward is with me. To give every man according as his work shall be. I'm the Alpha. I am the Omega. Jesus said, I started it, and I'm going to end this thing. But blessed are they, verse 14. Here come. Well, I'm so thankful I'm in the church. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. That's in the church. And enter in through the gates into the city. See, when we got baptized, we got a right to eternal life. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In the church, in the city, you got to be added to the city population, Acts 2:47. praising God and having favor with all the people. Watch what who adds to the numbers. The Lord added to the church, to the city, those who are saved. Who added them to the church? You know, we do a census of how many in the church. God knows every member of the church by name, by the very number of hairs on your head. See, that's why, man, they can't vote you into no church like they call themselves doing in some of these denominations. They're like, I'll accept them into the church, a vote of a man. Man, how man going to vote somebody in? He ain't got no church to vote nobody in. Gee, the Lord said he'll add them to the church that should be saved. What's the works he talking about? Obedience. You better do what he said, do. You got to obey him. He said, who's going to be blessed? They to do his commandments. What's the beginning of the commandment to get in church? The priest, the gospel, church. The bride says, come. The church is the priest, the gospel. We are the priest, the gospel. We go into all the world, Jesus said, back Mark 16:15. Going out, who is he talking to? The city. He said, y'all go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when that creature hears the good news, the gospel, that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross, and is baptized, they're going to be saved. So if they're saved, where are they going to be at? In the city. Who's in the city? The saved in the city. What is the city? The city is the church of Christ. How they going to get in? The church got to preach to them. What they got to preach? What the Spirit gave them? What did the Spirit give them? The Spirit gave us the gospel. So the church got to preach the gospel because the Spirit gave us the gospel to preach to the world. The world going to be added to the kingdom, which is the church, which is the kingdom, which is the city. When he added the saved to the city, God adds them to the city because he gave it to us through his word. So the Spirit and bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Now, when they do his commandment, they're going to believe and be baptized. They're going to have the right to the true life, the right to go to heaven, enter in through the gates, into the city, into the church. The end is coming, and only those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb have a right to the true life, to enter into the gates of the city, which is the church. Right now is the time, my friends, to get ready. If you want to call this morning, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to be in this city. Well, you heard what I said. You've got to get washed in the blood. You got to put away, you got to get away from that man-made doctrine, the commandments of men. Get out of them denomination of church, and even get out of churches of Christ who have left the truth. Get out of it and go back to the churches who are teaching the straight and narrow truth. Some of the churches of Christ that left the truth. They're doing things that are not authorized by God. Yeah. They need to be restored. They have a right to the tree of life, but you got to be obedient. We can't add to God's word to take from. We're going to see that in a minute. That's going on. I'm talking to members of the church who done left. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on in churches of Christ that are not according to the scripture anymore. We got women doing elders. We got women preaching. Some of them. I never thought I'd live to see today what woman could be called an elder in the church of Christ. I never thought I'd see that day. But I never thought I'd see the day when people would be using a Dougie Fresh method to get people in with the beatbox. But, man, that thing is big. You know how many people are doing that now, using that beatbox stuff? Well, with the COVID, God shut it down, don't he? He so did. He shut them down. Boy, they ain't praise dancing now. They dancing running from that COVID. Folk ain't praise dancing no more. Got to shut up at home. He shut down all this foolishness. It's unauthorized by God. He shut it down. Sent us all to the house. Except for them that don't want to listen. And they dying from the COVID. Ain't got good enough sense. You don't walk in front of a truck when it's running, say they're going to run over you. You listen to them. God give us common sense. Right now is the time to get ready. Obey the gospel. The Spirit is calling you. The Spirit is calling through the scripture. And the bride, that's the church, that's us. We're teaching it. Listen to who is outside the city. Don't look outside the city. Now, look, watch verse 15. I was talking about them dogs I was talking about earlier. He said, for without what? Without the church, outside of the church, are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make it a lie. So in the world, everybody outside the city, this is just a few of the sins. He's listening to sin. But outside the city, so they understand dogs back then were considered those who were uncircumcised, unclean. Even some of the Oriental cities, they consider dogs even today as unclean animals. You know, they're unclean. And so Jews looked at Gentiles like that because they were uncircumcised. See, to be in Judaism, you had to get circumcised at 8 to 8. You had to be circumcised. Now, in the New Testament, there is a circumcision, but it's not made by hand, see. So that was only for the males. And now he says, male or female, bond or free, everybody can be circumcised. So this ain't the physical circumcision, but what is it? Well, the dogs are those who never get spiritual circumcision. The Jews understood this. So John is writing it like that. But let's go back in Colossians chapter 2. Paul dealt with the circumcision. In order to get in this church, in this city, everybody got to go through the circumcision of God. Notice it. And you, in verse 10, he said, you are complete in him. Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision. Notice this, made without hands. Now, in the physical side, a doctor will circumcise the child. Now, in the spiritual, watch this, it's putting off the body of sin, unclean part, the body of sin, sins with S on it, of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. I ain't going to tell her what it is. I'm in Colossians 2. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation. Who is the surgeon? God, operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. So God does all the work under the water. He cleaned man up. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Now, anyone not baptized will be considered a dog outside of the city. Now, your sins wouldn't wash away. That's all he's saying. You're still unclean. So, my question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in him this hour? Or you're washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's go back to Revelation 22:16, and then let me try to get to the end of this chapter. Hopefully you're enjoying it so far. I, Jesus, he said, now here Jesus still talking. The angel is not talking right now. Jesus said, now let me back in Revelation 22. Now let's go back over there. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. See that? Over there. In Revelation 1:1, remember that? Go back to Revelation 1:1. Watch this. I'm going to show you who we're doing the talking in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which shortly should come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John. So the angel talked to John, and Jesus talked to John. Now he said, I sent my angel. Verse 16, Revelation 22, to testify to you, John, these things in the churches. But John got to take this back to the churches of Christ. He said, boy, Brooke, that's saying churches there. They don't say one church. Well, there are churches of Christ all over the world. Those are congregations. The Church of Christ in Houston, there's one in Philadelphia, there's one in New York, there's churches of Christ in Russia, there are churches of Christ everywhere. Everywhere. Congregations of Christ. That's what they are. Not denominations. So, yeah, that don't work. Jesus, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I already dealt with that. He's of the tribe of Judah and the descendants of David. So that's back in Revelation 5 where I dealt with that. Now, verse 17. Here's where I get my title from. This is what I've been talking to you about all morning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The angel starts to speak. Jesus said, I said, my angel tell you this. He said, now, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Spirit gave us the scripture. So when you read the scripture, it's calling you to Jesus. That's the Spirit. The bride is the church who take the gospel to the world. And we're telling the church, we're telling the world, come into the kingdom, come into the city, be born again, be washed in the blood of the Lamb, come into the city. And then he said, let him that hears say, come. See, some of us get all shook up over people who won't want to hear the truth. I understand it, I do, because we want our loved ones to be saved. We do, and I think that's only right to be kind of disturb when somebody you love won't obey. But let's cut to the chase, okay? So even though I have a man or a woman have a man she want to marry, a man have a woman he want to marry, he want her to be a member of the church so bad, or somebody want my mom or my grandmother to be a member of the church so bad, I want her to be in the church. I want her to be saved. But if mama and grandmama don't want to be saved, they're not going to be saved. You know, a lot of people in the church got baptized because mama told me to, daddy told me to. Somebody got baptized because I couldn't marry her if I wasn't a member of the church. But they didn't get baptized because they wanted to be saved. They're baptized to marry you. That person's not saved. Don't you know that? And all of you out there who are trying to convince people to be saved, and they got to want it. They got to want it, y'all. They got to be believers. And I get that. I get it. But Jesus said, let him that hear it say, come. And let him that's a thirst come. They got to want it. Like, they don't want water. You have to force water down somebody's throat who's thirsty. That's what I'm saying. You can't force the truth down somebody's throat. They don't want it. They're going to spit it out. They're going to come up with some excuse. Yeah, I know my daddy was a preacher. My auntie was this. And my uncle, my mama was the first lady. They just spit it out, the truth. They spit it out in your face. They don't want to drink the truth. They don't want the water. He said, whosoever will. That's an individual will. It's up to me to save my soul. At the understanding, we had a lesson, I thought it was a very good lesson, Brother Warner did about the gospel of your salvation. It's a personal decision for every man and woman to be saved. You can't make no decision to be saved based on what somebody else said or what you said. It has to be personal. You have to want to be saved. He said, whosoever, every individual has a will. They can do what God told them if they want to. They're going to follow their will, they're going to do God's will. No matter what you say, you can't change that. When a person don't believe the Bible, they don't want the will of God. They're not trying to do the will of God. That person's going to lose their soul, and they're going to go straight to hell. Yep, going straight to hell. There's a heaven to win and a hell to win. When a person don't believe the Bible, Jesus said in John 8:21, he said it. If everybody would just listen to the script, you could see very clearly what God is saying in John 8:21. Jesus said this. Listen to him. In John 8:21, he said, you shall die in your sins. If you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. I go my way. You go seek me and die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I'm from above. God said, Jesus, I'm bringing y'all the information. You are of the world. I'm not of this world. Then in verse number 24, he said, now I'm going to clarify what y'all just said to y'all. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if you believe not. That's what I've been saying the whole time. When people don't believe, they're going to die in their sins. If you believe not that I am he, that you shall die in your sins. It's like, well, I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe in baptism. You don't believe in Jesus because you don't believe in the very words that came from his mouth. You just need to stop talking about you believe. Stop talking about it. You don't believe. You're not a believer. You got to believe everything Jesus said, not the part you want. People believe that what they want to believe is, oh, everybody going to heaven. No, everybody not going to heaven. And what you want to believe, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what the scripture teaches. And now here it is. He said this. Listen to this. He said, whosoever will, that's the individual will of the individual, let him take the water of life. Freely. That's a personal decision for that individual. It's personal. This is a personal invitation to my mama, your mama, my grandmother, my daddy, your daddy, my wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whoever it is. It's to them. It's to your children. My children, no matter how much I want them to be saved, they're going to have to want to be saved themselves. Because they got to live the life. They got to obey God, and they got to live the life. Daddy cannot live it for them, and I won't be responsible for them on the day of judgment. They're going to be responsible for themselves. In this life, I don't want to see my kids lost, but I know this. If they don't do what God told them, if they daddy don't do it, I'm going to be lost. If they don't do it, they're going to be lost. Yeah. So I never raised a monkey around there and played the holier than thou card on them. I told them, we all in this to try to get to heaven. Don't, daddy, don't look at me as one person. Just look at me as one who's doing what I know to do. When I make, when I sin, I know to get it right. I go to church every Sunday. I'm going to be at worship. I'm going to take my communion. I'm going to give right to the Lord. I'm going to sing. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to preach from this book. And I ain't going to add to it or take from it. That's what daddy gave my children. And you ain't perfect either. So when you fall, get up. That's what I wanted them to do. Get up and try again. Don't just lay there in the mud. Everybody fall. Some of you on the call and fail. Get up. When are you going to get up? Get up and start trying to get. You got to get right. You're going to die like that if you don't get up. So John, in closing his book, telling them, you know, John is in the closing his book. He tells them that hear him that are thirsty, whosoever will. Come. And then come and do what? Take up the water of life freely. And so will someone accept this invitation this morning? The Spirit and the Bride is calling you. Jesus did it on the cross. I'm in the church. I'm a part of the one who, I'm using the Spirit, which is given to us by the Scripture. And I'm telling you. And we're saying the Church of Christ doors are swing open on welcome hinges. You can come on in. It's up to you. But if you ain't coming in, that's your decision. Then he says, and we're finishing up Revelation, y'all, verse 18 through 21. I'm going to read all of it. John leaves everyone that's going to read this book a warning. And this is why I just say, Brother Wimper told me I'm brutally honest. Yeah, he said that. But come on, I just say it like I believe it. And here's why. You cannot be a preacher like I'm doing and try to please people. Folk ain't gonna like what I say. But I'm gonna tell you that here's the warning to me and to you. In verse number 18, he said, I testify, John said, that unto every man that hear the words of the prophets of this book, if any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in them. That's bad news right there. Ain't no good news in that right there. You bet we don't add to God's word. If God said one, we say one. If God said baptism, we say baptism. If God would have said any church would do, I would have said any church, but he didn't say that. So I ain't gonna add to it. And then he goes to the second part. He said, now the first one, you can't add to anything wrote. At the second part, verse 19, he said, any man, no matter who that man is, a woman is, shall take away, you take something away from the words of the book of life of this prophet, here come the penalty. God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's why I'm called brutally honest. Because I know if I take from the scripture, and I say, well, yeah, that's what it said, but that ain't what it means. If I take it out, or if I add to it, you know, it said this plus this, or this minus this. Anything a plus or minus is going to get us in trouble, y'all. It's going to get us in trouble. And how's the Holy Spirit? Name coming out the book. God said, I'm taking your name out the book, bro. If you add to it, I'm going to give you some plagues. If you take anything out of it, bro, that I said, and I told them to write this, and you take away from it, your name, you coming out of the city. In other words, you're going to be lost. You can be saved and then be lost. You know that? I could be lost again if I start teaching something true. And from the thing which is written in this book. He would testify these things, said as Jesus, here he come, and read, surely I come quickly, ain't going to be long. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The last verse of this Revelation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, Titus 2:11, had appeared to all men. Right here, the Spirit of Christ has come. For the grace of God, Titus 2:11, listen to this now. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. How did it appear? The Spirit gave us the scripture. And we know, we wasn't in Jerusalem, but we know there's a place called Calvary. And in his book tell us, there's a man spoke with authority that came to take away the sins of the world. The grace of God. And they seen him coming. They seen grace coming. John seen grace coming. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. He was grace and truth. In John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. That's what he said. Full. There's nothing left. When a glass is full, ain't no room for nothing else. Full of grace and full of truth. When you saw Jesus on the cross, when we read about Jesus on the cross, that was grace and truth hanging on the cross. That's who he was. And so now he says, the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God to bring salvation appear to all men, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that they should live soberly and righteously in this present world. Titus 2:11 through the following person. Now, so this is the end of the book. The book paints a beautiful picture of the place we want to be, and that is the city, which is the church. And one day, that city go back to the throne of God and hear him say, well done. And that's when we'll do. That's when we will dwell with God. So this city is the church of Christ. And he's going to come get her and take her back. The Father's house is where God dwells. It's what we know as heaven. And where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then 1 Corinthians 15:24. If you see, there coming a day. So we in the kingdom, we in the church, and the church is the city, and the king of that city is Jesus. But there's coming a day when we'll go back to the place where God is at, which is at the throne. And in verse 24, he said, then cometh the end, 1 Corinthians 15, then cometh the end, when he shall, talking about Jesus, have delivered up the kingdom to God, that's the church, even the Father. Now, that's where you're talking about the mansion, you know. The mansion, remember I said, where there are many mansions? That's talking about where God is at. Even the Father. Notice what he said. When he hath put down all rule and authority and power. So whatever we do in word or deed right now is authorized by Jesus, the Son of God. There coming a day when he's going to take us home, y'all. He's going to take the city back, and they're going to be with the Father. He's already with him. He's going to reign until he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that Jesus will take out of this world is death. There'll be no more dying. That's the last end. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15:24-26. Now, here's what we need to close this lesson with. With all the beauties we can read about, we can imagine in our human mind, think about the beauty of the church to God. Because it cost him his son's life. And his son gave his life to save the church. To save the city. Is she beautiful? And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:9, it also in Isaiah 64:4, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, ye have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared. That's back to John 14. See, that's a totally different discussion now in John 14. See. You know, I want my mansion. Well, I do too. But see, you can't get that one unless you go to the Father's house. See, the church is the dwelling place of the people of God, the church of Christ. That's us. But in the Father's house is where he takes the city back to be with the Father. And that's where he's talking about the mansions. The mansion, getting our robe. That's rewards. That's what they're talking about. Us having rewards. They have a place of residence. That's what he's talking about. That a place of abode, the mansion, that's a residency. You'll be a citizen of the kingdom. You'll be living in the place where God is at. That's beautiful. God, Jesus said, if it were not so, I told you, now I'm going to prepare a place for you. I go, and I'll go and prepare for you. I will come again, receive into myself. That where I am, see that? They ain't talking about the church again. I'm going to take y'all back to where I'm going to be at. So he's right now with God on the throne, on the right hand of the Father. That's where he's at. We're in the church of Christ. We are in the city. We are the beautiful bride of Christ. And he's going to take the bride home. It's going to be made up of people. And all of us are going to go now to the dwelling place, the place, the mansion where the residency is, heaven, throne of heaven where God the Father will be. And when I go, you know, he says, and the way, you know. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether that goes. How can we know the way? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man, notice what he said, coming unto the Father by me. Nobody's going to make it to God the Father that did not go through Jesus Christ and his church, the Church of Christ. Yes, ma'am. You ought to be excited to be a member of the Church of Christ. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to want to be. After this lesson, you ought to want to be. But here's the thing about it. Until you become a believer, you're not going to believe in the Church of Christ either. So you got some real gate problems. You're going to have some gate problems. That's all there is to it, y'all. When a person don't believe, they're going to have a gate problem. What do you mean by gate? You're not going to go to hell. There's going to be some people up there shocked. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he do the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils? He said, I will confess unto them, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. You did whatever you wanted to do. You didn't do what we told you to do. That's what workers of iniquity mean. So if you're on the call this morning, you're not a Christian. The Spirit is calling you. The Church of Christ is telling you. Those of us in the Lord's Church are teaching you this truth. It's our obligation to you. If you want to come, you come by hearing Acts 15 and verse 7. You got to hear the word of the gospel and believe. When you hear the word of the gospel, the word of the gospel is the fact that Jesus was a suffering Savior and God loved you, sent his Son, John 3:16. The Son came and lived on this earth for about 33 years. They beat him, they scourged him, they spit on him, they mocked him. God watched them kill his child, took him on Calvary. They took him on Calvary. And they hung him on a cross, a tree, with nails in God's only son's hand and God's only son's feet. And he had to hang there 6 hours in order to purchase this city, the Church of Christ. And he purchased her blood, Acts 20:28. He therefore yourself will flock with the Holy Ghost and made you overseer to feed the Church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That was God the Son. He purchased the church. It took that blood. And if you believe that he hung on that cross, then believe that he died, believe they buried him in the borrowed tomb, and believe on the first day of the week he got up that Sunday. What we call Sunday, it's the first day of the week. And that's why we worship him today on Sunday, because that's the day of the resurrection. If you believe that with all of your heart, then repent of your sin right now and say, you know what, I want to be in that house. I want to get my mansion. I want to go to the Father's house. I want to be in that city. I want to be in the Church of Christ. Then repent and say, I have not been obeyed the truth. I want to obey the truth. Then what we're going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? In Acts 8, you have to do what that man did. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that, you've got to be baptized. Why? Jesus commanded it. And Jesus was the one who said, blessed he that keep the commandments of this book. The commandment is where everybody got to be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and then verses 38. Acts 22:16 said, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized, wash away your sins, call it on the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism does also now save them, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but the answer to a good conscience to our God. When your sins are forgiven, you come up out of the water of the grave of baptism, you have no guilt of conscience because everything you've given, everything you ever done wrong, God forgave you. And that's then the Lord adds you to the city. He adds you to the city, which is the Church of Christ. And in that city is our obligation to tell everybody outside, all those outside of the gates of the city, that they can come in. The gates are still open right now. The Spirit and the bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come.